Now the Bengals on top, and to a lot they in the underdog slot. But the fact is they're the champs of the AFC North. A playoff berth is what they got. Ain't had a shot since it was 2015. Time to play like they've been here before. Ja'Marr Chase, you can't ignore. That's a grown man. Thought you could slow him, then realized he got his own plan. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Mr.
Thomas. Welcome to the Who Dare Over the Border podcast for a long time. Long suffering. Cincinnati Bengals fan. Who dare, everybody? Oh, it is the dawn of free agency in less than 24 hours. The Cincinnati Bengals and the rest of the NFL will jump into free agency and as the legal tampering period starts at noon on Monday. There's a lot going on with the Bengals on who they're going to attempt to sign, if they attempt to sign anybody, how that's going to affect the draft. So we're going to talk a little bit about the roster heading into free agency, because I think there are certain areas where they'll probably concentrate more on the draft than they will in free agency, and vice versa for other position groups. But the Bengals really need to hit on both levels here, you know, as we're going into this season before Joe Burrow's contract kicks in as the quarterback. If you look around the league, you'll see some teams whose quarterbacks have, you know, their major deals, primarily the Bills, that kicked in. They really had to make some massive roster decisions and cutting good players to get themselves under the salary cap for the start of this particular league year. And the Bengals really need to be probably in an all-in situation themselves, because they really only have probably this year and maybe next season before all the Burrow's money kicks in. You have T. Higgins under the franchise tag. You have a lot of cap space to be able to spend to get players in to help you, you know, get to the playoffs, or better yet, win the division, get to the playoffs, and hopefully get to the Super Bowl. All of this while, you know, you're waiting on Joe Burrow's wrist to heal and, you know, playing that all out, you know, by whatever the May timeframe that it is. So we're going to jump into that. And then it is mock draft Monday, so we will recording on Sunday, but by the time you guys hear and listen to this, it'll be Monday. And so we'll go through the three or four rounds, whatever PFF is given, because remember, PFF is straight tripping, charging y'all for mock drafts. All right, so here we go. So we're going to start on the offensive side of the ball with quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, he's the starter, y'all. I hope I didn't break any news. And then Jake Browning is the backup. That is also not any news. I don't think they're going to bring in somebody unless they bring in what we call a camp arm. You know, we went through this when Carson Palmer had his elbow injury. And when he came back into camp, you know, he was on what they call a pitch count in Major League Baseball. I would imagine that Burrow will be on somewhat of a pitch count as well. If you saw the article by Ben Baby in ESPN this past week, you know, he's kind of in and out of the brace. He was at the UFC fight last night without the brace on. We'll leave it at that. I won't talk anything more about his appearance at the UFC fight and who he made greetings with. But he was out. He was without it last night. He has, you know, he talked about there was a mid-May thing where he thinks he should be back to normal. He's able to lift right now, which is a big deal for him. Throwing medicine balls, I guess, to, you know, be able to start to strengthen that wrist up or whatever. I think people kind of forget, like, because people come back from injuries all the time. This is a major injury, especially for a quarterback on their throwing arm, hand. So this process of him healing from this needs to be 100% right. I'm sure he has consulted the best specialist of all time, specialists in this area, and did not leave this to the Bengals doctors, who are not probably the best specialist in that area. So we'll see how that goes. But maybe they add a quarterback. You know, I think they cut the dude from Alabama whose wife was really hot. I can't remember his name right now. The one that almost won us the playoff game against the Steelers in 2015. They did cut him so he could have time to go back into the USFL. But yeah, maybe a camp arm. But beyond that, I don't think they'll be signing anybody else in the quarterback room. All right, let's look at the running backs. All right, so there's a March 17th deadline on Joe Mixon and that roster bonus. The Bengals aren't paying it. I think everybody knows that the Bengals aren't paying it, and hopefully Joe Mixon knows that the Bengals aren't paying it. And so now you get a chance to redo the wide receivers room. But here's the caveat for me. You can't keep losing captains and people that are important on this team and expect those leadership roles to be filled either by rookies or second-year players. You need to start to replace these players with people that got some skins on the walls, as they say, So if Joe Mixon doesn't come back, which I'm kind of predicting that he will, just at a lower cap number, so he winds up into some sort of running back by committee on the roster and under contract are Mixon right now, as of right now, Chase Brown, Chris Evans is still under contract. I can't imagine how much longer that's going to last. And Travion Williams is the primary free agent. So you imagine that this gets addressed with a free agent running back, and there are plenty of them that they could bring in if they choose to. The running back market is depressed money-wise, so it's not going to really cost you anything. That's why I think that Joe Mixon actually might wind up being back at a reduced cap number. And so now you have a, you know, Chase Brown, Joe Mixon, or some other veteran, and a third, you know, running back, or maybe even a fourth that you draft. You know, there's always been this talk out there about Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back and teaming up with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. He is a free agent this year as well. So, I mean, there's going to be a veteran brought in. I would imagine there's a third day pick running back that's going to be brought in. That's, you know, probably a speed back of some sort. And you just redo the running back room completely, whether it's with Joe Mixon or with another veteran running back. But yeah, it's going to be a time to get younger there, get faster there. The only thing that's going to be the issue is somebody's going to fumble, because Joe Mixon never did, and that's a huge issue. Let's look at the tight ends. If you're on YouTube, man, it's above me now. If you're familiar with that meme, it's above me now. There is not a tight end signed on the roster at this moment. I would imagine that changes fairly early in the process, if not today before we end this recording, or early tomorrow morning before free agency starts. Let's be honest, man. There's not one tight end that the Bengals have in free agency that anybody really seriously wants, at least not for any real serious money. So Drew Sample, he came back this year on a one-year deal. I would imagine that happens again. Tanner Hudson, who played well once he got a chance to play, I would imagine he'll be back. Mitchell Wilcox, I can't see sniffing Cincinnati again. Irv Smith is definitely going to be gone. And then there's this recently released C.J. Uzomah and I want to call him Hunter Hurst Helmsley, but Hayden Hurst both got released from the Jets and the Panthers, respectively. And, you know, maybe a reunion on that thing. Hayden Hurst, again, it scares me with head injuries like that, that he had. You're more susceptible to get head injuries after you've had one. Obviously, he knows the offense and fits and all of that, but I'd be a little bit weary about that. CJ, the same thing, minus the head injury. Familiar with the offense, but I mean, he did nothing in New York while he was there. I mean, he was a special teams maven. We'd be coming back here, he'd be a, you know, a primary, you know, Sample starting, but he's going to be getting major snaps. You know, he's limited offensively, he's limited athletically. You could probably do better. You know, again, there's all that free agent talk and a bunch of free agent tight ends out there as well. You know, Noah Fant seems to have a little bit of smoke towards the Bengals right now. If that's the case, you're always going to be in the lookout in the draft, which they completely messed up last year. But, you know, you might get a tight end in the draft or something like that. Or, you know, maybe there's a trade for somebody that y'all really like, but you got to address this room. And again, Drew Sample and Tanner Hudson are probably automatics back on this team. So that leaves a spot for two other tight ends, probably one veteran and probably one rookie. So let's see how they address that situation. But yeah, there's no tight ends, man. It's above me now. I have no idea what they're going to do there and who they're going to bring back besides Drew Sample, because they love him so much. At wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, you know, on the franchise tag, Andre Yoshivas and Charlie Jones. So if you're going through this, you're looking at the Bengals roster, like, what about, you know, all these other dudes like Kwame Lassiter? Man, come on, man. We're talking about the people that are actually going to play. These are the four dudes that are going to play the most. Obviously, there's a major free agent departure in Tyler Boyd. I haven't heard any thoughts of him coming back. Either it's on the super secret double probation hush-hush, or he's just out of there and winds up on a different team. I live in the Miami Dolphin territory. There's a lot of smoke about him coming to the Dolphins to be their third wide receiver, but we'll see about that. Stanley Morgan is also out of there. Trent Irwin is also a free agent. So obviously they're going to address this in the draft as well. You know, but where are the snaps, I guess, is basically what you're looking for. Is Yoshivas your third wide receiver? And what's Charlie Jones then? Because he was allegedly drafted to be that. His season got a little bit compromised because of the shoulder injury. So where do you go there? Do you sign a veteran wide receiver? Or do you sign a, you know, one of those slot wide receivers that you can get in the third, fourth, or fifth round and address it that way? But it's all the importance is pointing to the fact that T. Higgins will be back, you know, barring some unbelievable trade to another team that's going to send you back another number one slash number two wide receiver. You know, T. Higgins is on this team at least for this season and possibly next season, depending on what the friggin' salary cap is and what the franchise number is for wide receivers. But, like, he's got to be back. So you have your two-headed monster there. But you need to get better. You know, teams have figured out that they could bracket one and leave one open and you just live with it, you know. But you don't want to be in that world all that time because, you know, let's be honest, both of them have been a little bit injured, T more than Jamar, and have missed games. So if you don't have a third wide receiver that can, you know, take those catches and take those snaps, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. And I'm not sure if we're ready to turn that over to Andre Yosivas and Charlie Jones. So there probably needs to be either a veteran signing or, you know, some rookie that you're really hot on. Maybe that's somebody that drops down. Maybe your third wide receiver is, you know, Brock Bowers if he drops. I know it already did tight ends, but maybe he drops to 18 and, you know, you kind of change the offense a little bit when you have that matchup nightmare for everybody lined up in the slot. And, you know, with your two wide receivers, it can, you know, make the offense a lot more potent. But we'll see if he slides that far. I have my doubts. Let's look at the offensive line. Your starters from left to right on your radio dial, Orlando Brown, Cordell Volson, Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, and to be named later. You know, to be named later is a very popular player in Bengals history. But you only have a couple of backups that are actually signed and under contract. Cody Ford, you know, you've seen that meme where they sign a backup player in like championship. Cody Ford signs yesterday his, you know, to stay on another year with the Bengals. And then the other two people that are signed under contract should make your liver quiver and your heart flutter. Jackson Carmen and Deontay Smith. They're the only ones under contract. Max Sharping is still a free agent. But who cares? You know, I mean, again, there's some other dudes that are on the team that they can't be counting on. Jackson Kirkland, come on, son. Yeah, I mean, they can't be counting on any of these dudes to actually be playing. And so I didn't even list some of them. It's just the offensive line is, I mean, without a right tackle, Jonah Williams also set for free agency. Without a right tackle, I mean, who? There is no depth. You got to get better on all of those spots. And now look, your backup tackles and guards are dudes that kind of suck. You know, even if you bring back Max Sharpen, he sucks. Like, honestly, he's terrible. You know, Deontay Smith never evolved. Jackson Carmen, a waste of a second round pick. You know, I'm surprised they should probably move on from him if they could get a bag of rice for him. But he needs to be moved on too. So that should make everybody's hearts a flutter. You don't have really a backup center if you don't bring back Sharping. So there's that problem. Volson is probably the one spot that you can improve on. And then pretty much every mock draft has the Bengals taking a tackle at 18. But we're really trusting a rookie to guard Burrow coming off a wrist injury this year, a knee injury 2 years ago. Come on, man. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So you're going to need to find a veteran that can come in and play at that position. And if it's a bridge guy, that's great. If you find the right tackle that comes in and he plays like he's a five-year veteran already, that's even better. But you cannot turn that spot over to just a Jag dude. And so it ain't going to be Jackson Carmen. There will be no competitions there for him playing right tackle. Deontay Smith, like, there's none of that. So you better find a player. You better find him quick and early in free agency, even if you got to overpay a little bit to protect Joe Burrow. All right, let's look at the specialists. If you're on YouTube, there's a whole ass target on the back of the punter, Brad Robbins, because there is one on him. Everybody else is fine. Kyle Adamidis as your long snapper. Evan McPherson is one of the best kickers in the league. He's going to wind up getting paid here probably at the end of this season, too, if he doesn't get the extension in the summer this year. Again, not any big money because he's a kicker, but still. And then Brad Robbins, the punter they drafted last year out of that school up north, he sucked. I mean, to be honest. So, you know, there's going to be a punting competition. They were very upfront about it at the NFL Combine, as well there should be. And then hopefully he, you know, takes this to heart and does whatever he needs to do to get his shit together, because he was bad last year. And, you know, that's why you don't draft punters, to, you know, to quote Jake Lisco from Locked On Bengals, don't draft kickers. He proved it. Evan McPherson proved to be the exception to that rule. And this dude is proving to prove it. And that's bad. So he's got a target on his back. See if he makes it out of camp. If a competition brings him up to the next level, you know, what sucks about it is that if it's not him, you get into that, you know, that three man group of the long snapper, the holder, and the kicker. And that was an issue for the Bengals last year when Adamitis went down. And it was, we wind up, or 2 years ago, we wound up losing the opening game because of him going down. And, you know, it's a big deal. So you want to hope that Brad Robbins gets that, whatever he needs to do to get it together moving forward. And he is your punter. But if not, yeah, there'll be a new dude back there. Stop drafting people from that school. Speaking of which, let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. And our other target, right dead center in the middle of his chest. Let's look at the safety group, y'all. Dax Hill, Jordan Battle, Nick Scott, Tyson Anderson are your four safeties that are on the roster that would consider playing. Tyson Anderson needs to be moved on. I know he scored those two pick six touchdowns in the preseason and we were all hype, but he's been injured every year that he's been here. He's not going to ever play. Like, I think we need to just go ahead and move on from that. Jordan Battle showed a lot once he actually got in. Nick Scott should be cut too. I don't know how much money it would cost in terms of dead cap hit or versus how much you would save, but he was really bad. And for whatever reason, the NFL has decided, like, you know what? We probably shouldn't overpay for safeties. And, you know, a lot of them got cut. Jamal Adams got cut. Justin Simmons in Denver is the one dude that got cut. There's a bunch of free agent safeties that are available as well, you know, starting tomorrow. You could do better. And so the issue becomes like, wait a second, what do you do with Dax Hill then? You drafted him. You know, he primarily played slot corner at Michigan because of his athleticism. Y'all projected him to play safety. And since he didn't really play as a rookie last year, it was essentially his rookie year. And he did great, like covering tight ends and those types of things. But his work as a free safety was a lot to be desired. So there's a lot of talk about what do you do with him? You move him to outside corner? Can't put him in the slot corner. That's Mike Hilton's spot for right now, at least for one more year. He's under one more year of contract. So you're not going to do him there. Did you really give him a fair enough shot to be the free safety? Let's be honest. Like, Kyler Hamilton sucked for the Ravens his first year. Like, he was terrible. I was like, don't draft people from Notre Dame. But he's close to a Pro Bowler, all pro at this point. It just took him a couple of years to get it. Dax Hill is easily as athletic as Kyler Hamilton is. But does he have the smarts and brains or whatever? Now, those people from that school up north will tell you, of course he has the smarts and the brains because they're the school from up north. We need to see it on the field, big fella. So I fully expect the Bengals to bring in another safety, probably a veteran. If it was Justin Simmons, that would make me very, very happy because you're getting, you know, Jesse Bates numbers without Jesse Bates' price, which would be ideal for them. You get a veteran back there to help lead that team or that group in that room because it's pretty young in there too. So maybe that happens, but Dax Hill's definitely, he's going to be on the team. Don't get me wrong, but what position that he's going to be at, I swear, I hope they don't move him to outside corner. I think that's a very bad idea. I don't think he has the instincts for that. I do think he has the instincts to be a pretty decent free safety if given the opportunity. You just hope his confidence wasn't completely shot by the end of last year. Because once you start seeing and hearing ghosts, it's over for you. And it seems like that's what was happening at the end of the year, because he was not great at the beginning, but he got worse as the year went on. And speaking of that and that school up north, let's look at the cornerbacks. Your cornerbacks, your starters are Tam Taylor Britt, and DJ Turner. DJ Turner, somebody that also played well at the beginning, also from the school up north, also kind of hit the rookie wall or somebody beat him up bad or something, man. He sucked in the latter part of the year. You know, he's always going to have his speed, but with his speed comes his liability in terms of his height. So he has to make up for that. Now, again, there's dudes that play at that height that are successful cornerbacks in the NFL. It's not that. They don't even have his speed. But like near the end of the year, he was getting roasted pretty good. So you have to see what happens there. On the free agency side, you're losing Chido Awuzie. So you might have to maybe bring in that other veteran corner, you know, in the Eli Apple position. I kind of think Cheeto might be back too. I'm not sure what the market is for him and see if he wants to come back, but I don't know if the Bengals have a price tag on him where they would want to bring him back. DJ Ivy, the cornerback from Miami, was playing really well before he tore his ACL. So, you know, he's going to be coming back a little bit slowly as well. Jalen Davis has favorite nation status in this team for some reason. Like, oh yeah, he's the backup slot, but he's rarely out there because Mike Hilton's rarely off the field. You know, he's been so durable. And at this point in time, if he goes down, Dax Hill's going into that spot. So Jalen Davis is, you know, a guy that plays special teams and maybe, I don't know, 7 to 10 snaps a corner a game. Maybe he doesn't even play that many. And then you have Alan George, but again, that's somebody that could be replaced as well. But yeah, Cheeto will be a hard replace. There will not be an Eli Apple reunion. I don't think he's going to be coming back here, nor do they want him in the shenanigans that come with having Eli on the team. But maybe there's some free agent cornerback that kind of falls loose or some young dude that, you know, the Bengals want to take a flyer on that has a little bit more experience than DJ Ivy, or not DJ Ivy, but for DJ Turner, so he can kind of ease his way into this. You know, the Bengals secondary is crazy young, and we knew there were going to be growing pains last year, and there were outside of Cam Taylor Britt, you know, with the loss of Jesse Bates and Von Bell. But now it's another year in. And again, in that interview with Joe Burrow with Ben Baby, he was like, yeah, we need like our young dudes that got drafted to do their jobs. I'm paraphrasing. So that's, you know, on a lot of these defensive kids that they need to grow up this summer to make sure that they're on their crap by the time you roll into training camp. You know, the learning curve is over. You need to be on it at this point and on it from the go. And we'll see how that goes with that, with the entire secondary, really, outside of Cam Taylor Britt. And then we're going to need to be having that Cam Taylor Britt conversation at the end of next year, too, because he's going to be due for an extension as well at the end of next season. And the Bengals are going to have to pay because he's a pretty good player. And he probably would have been a Pro Bowler had he not got hurt in the last part of the year. The linebackers, Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt. Let me sip my drink. Okay. I like both of these dudes and the Super Bowl run dudes and the AFC Championship game. Good dudes. Solid. Last year, not so much. Now, you could call that they weren't playing as well because the defensive lineman wasn't playing that well in front of them. Okay. But both of them, Pratt more so, but Logan Wilson more obviously so, they weren't doing well in coverage either, which was something that they both had Pratt had gotten better at, Wilson had excelled at. And now, if you can't get, you know, if you're getting blown off and you're having to make tackles all the way down the field and you're not covering, like, what's the point here? So, to me, there's an obviously upgrade that's probably available. The Bengals won't do it. You know, the free agents are all the dudes they're going to wind up bringing back. Akeem Davis Gaither, Joe Bachy, Marcus Bailey. You know, they're going to bring all those dudes back. Three special teams players, essentially. But if there's some linebackers out there that come loose because nobody wants to pay them, man, you got to consider getting a linebacker. Maybe Pratt is better just at first and second down. He's paid essentially like a two-down linebacker. So maybe he's better on first and second down, and you have another linebacker that you can play in these third down situations that is either better at coverage and or you can split them first and second down carries. That's a little bit more of a thumper that's going to help on the run. Again, I know that when we're talking about it here in the next slide, probably that the defensive line needs to play better. But these two dudes did not play well last year, like at all. And they had both gotten paid and didn't play well. So that's never a good look. So everybody's going to be looking at them to see if, you know, they've kind of capped out. You know, the Bengals have been kind of did well here where they couldn't get a linebacker to save them lives under Marvin Lewis. They finally find these two dudes in the Zach Taylor era. And now it looked like they were ascending, and now they kind of flatlined last year. And you hope that's not the drop off the cliff where they both kind of start to, you know, head south at the same time. That would be really, really bad. The defensive ends, so your starters, Trey Hendrickson. This is a plot where there's no real free agents. And I think the room is fairly set. I mean, they may draft another defensive end, but the room is fairly set. You got Hendrickson, Hubbard, Miles Murphy, Joseph Osai, Cam Sample, Jeff Gunter's practice squad or whatever. But like Hubbard played through injuries this year. Everybody's talked about he had the high ankle sprain. He tried to play through it. Didn't really have his best year, obviously. Joseph Osai was in the doghouse, probably in a little bit of mentally messed up and injured, you know, from the AFC Championship game, the training camp, like all of those things factored together. He didn't start to really start to play again till the end of the year. And then Cam Sample's just been a solid, like, you know, kind of backup defensive end. You know, he's not going to do a whole lot, but he'll do enough. And then Miles Murphy had 4.5 sacks, you know, as a rookie playing in limited snaps. You know, he's in theory should be a lot better this year. So you have a solid rotation of defensive ends. Hubbard can kick inside on passing downs at defensive tackle. So you can have Hendrickson and Murphy out on the field and Osai. So, I mean, there should be something there. You know, I wouldn't see like a draft pick coming unless somebody dropped all the way down for defensive end, or maybe you draft or a free agent from one of those veteran ends that all they can do is rush the passer, you know, on obvious passing downs. But yeah, I think the defensive ends is pretty solid for the Bengals right now. On the opposite side of that, though, the defensive tackles. What defensive tackles? Oh, yeah, you got VJ Hill, Zach Carter, and Jay Tufele. What? You can't roll into the year with those dudes. Obvious free agent is DJ Reader, and Josh Tupou is also a free agent. I can't see him bringing back Tupou. He's been here for a long time. He's just a guy at this point. Jay Tufele's played well in his limited snaps. Zach Carter, what is he, a third-round pick from Florida? He has not done it, like, at all. He has not provided anything. They thought he could come in and be three technique, rush the passer. Nope. All right, well, he put on some weight, got more muscular, you know, play a little bit of, you know, D-tackle, save some snaps from DJ. Nope, nothing. The Bengals got run all over last season, giving up all those chunk plays up the middle. Like, I mean, it was just bad all around. You know, DJ Reader did his best, but he was only one man. And BJ Hill's great at rushing the passer. You know, he's a good rotational defensive tackle, but he played way too many snaps. So now what do you do? I mean, again, we'll do mock draft Monday here in a second. What do you do? Do you bring back DJ Reader going into his age 30 season? Bengals have typically not done that. And on the fact that he's already injured and might not be ready for the start of the season. Do you deepen the free agency, sign a couple of tackles? You know, there's some top shelf ones that are available. There's some B levels as well as some Pabst Blue Ribbon ones as well. You know, what are you going to do? But you better do something to defensive tackle. And again, are you trusting a rookie to come in on a Super Bowl contender to come in and be one of your starting D tackles or taking those a significant number of snaps? I don't know if that's a great idea, but we're going to have to see how free agency starts here in a minute. Because, again, if you've been a long-time suffering fan like the Bengals, like I have, you know tomorrow is not a great day typically. When you go back to the Marvin past, free agency would start. I'd be sitting at my job, have a Pro Football Talk up. And, you know, Pro Football Talk will crash because so many people just hitting their site. I mean, it just crashed. Like, it was inevitable that it was going to crash at some point in time once free agency started. But then even when it was done, the Bengals weren't A-level free agents, B, C. They were always on the D-level dudes. And it showed. You know, Bengals really didn't participate in free agency under Marvin 17 years there. Now with Zach and Joe Burrow, I think that, you know, they've realized, like, hey, we're going to have to participate in some of this because we have a Super Bowl winning quarterback, even though in theory you had one with Carson Palmer too and you didn't do shit. But they have Joe Burrow, who exerts, you know, the proper amount of pressure on the organization to make sure that they're doing that, you know. So 2 years ago, first 10 minutes of legal tampering, they get, you know, Kappa and Karras, boom. All right. Last year, Orlando Brown, boom. Like, wow, like this is impressive. So is that a trend or an anomaly? Because last year, outside of the Brown signing, that was pretty much it. Now, last year, they were also dealing with Burrow's contract, and I think that was a lot of – it took up a lot of their time and effort, and then how many of their resources were they going to have. But they really, like, spent a lot of time focused on that. now that they have essentially all of those folks under contract and the T under the franchise tag, if they can't get a long-term deal, you better be up and ready at noon tomorrow to, if there's somebody that you want, to target them, to make sure that you get up there and get them before somebody else does. You know, the league waits for nobody. And I think the Bengals over time have finally learned that, that if there's somebody that you like and there's a number that can be reached to get that, because they're not going to overpay, but if there's a number that they can reach to get it, you do have the attraction of bringing Burrow, you know, to have, what is it, cookies and juice or whatever, to close these deals at his house when he's back in town during free agency. So I'm curious. I'll be sitting at my computer at 12 o'clock. I'll have my phone on. Goat Killer will be texting me like, you know, the Bengals didn't do this. Or it's the trail of tears of people that the Bengals fans thought that they were going to sign and didn't is long and wide. So I'm sure it'll be a little bit of that tomorrow. Probably a little bit of it tonight as some deals get consummated before free agency starts. But yeah, it's always tragically fun. It's like freaking Shakespeare, man. It's just it's a comedy and a tragedy all at once, because you really want these things to happen. You get yourself all hyped up for something that probably wasn't going to happen, and then you're massively disappointed when that thing that probably wasn't going to happen doesn't happen. So yeah, good times. All right, let's get to the mock draft, y'all. Mock draft Monday. Like I said, by the time y'all hear this, so we'll pull up the PFT simulator. Let's see, we're going to remove that. We're going to go share screen so everybody can see. So we're up and running, y'all. All right. So, again, they only allow you for three rounds because PFF be straight tripping. So we'll do a three-round mock here, kind of thinking about what we talked about moving forward and see who the Bengals can get. All right, here we go. Ready. And we're going to start the draft. No trades. So before the Bengals pick, Jackson Powers Johnson went ahead of them. I think that he was definitely somebody that would be on their radar. He's a center. He doesn't have a lot of position versatility, but Karras does. He could actually play guard. But again, it does nothing to address your issues at right tackle, which is probably the biggest one. So let's see who's on the board at 18 when the Bengals still pick. All right. Let's see what they got. Talisi Fuaga, that's a big name out there. And this mock, Fashanu from Penn State, he's actually still on the board, which is kind of wild as well, to play right tackle. That both of those dudes dropped. That's really interesting. Jared Verse, J.C. Latham is still on the board as well. That's very interesting. You know, the Bengals have had a lot of talk about that. Amarius Mims on the clock. Again, everybody thinks he might have the highest ceiling, but he hasn't played the most. And then he goes out and injures his ankle or hamstring or something at the combine. So, I mean, again, you have to wait till his pro day to see all of that. But, I mean, I think most people expect him to be gone before the Bengals pick. Let's see. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Fuaga dude from Oregon State. I think that's Oregon State. I think that's a solid draft pick, especially if he winds up dropping to 18. All right, so the pick is in. Let's get to round two, y'all. All right, so the Bengals on the clock at pick number 49. Let's see who's here. Brandon Fisk. He set the world on fire at the combine, but his production in college was not great. So he's like one of those draft day dudes. I'm going to sit that one out. No players from the school up north for me. Ricky Pearsall, I know Paul Dana Jr. had the Bengals drafting him. Chris Jenkins, another dude from that school up north. They're really going to make you do it sometimes, don't they? Kyrie Jackson, the cornerback from Oregon. That would be a kind of a solid pick. Too early for a running back in my world. No tight ends, or all the tight ends are off the board. So there's none of that. Xavier Worthy doesn't fit the Bengals draft profile for a wide receiver because of his size, but you could put him in the slot immediately. He'd probably be a nightmare for some folks. Ugh. Tavondre Sweat, yeah, I mean, he's falling down the boards because he didn't do all the drills over there. Again, he's, as Hutch would say, he's a fat back. He's a big fella, but I just don't, he's a third rounder to me, so I'm going to pass on him. I just took an offensive tackle. I'm going to take a defensive tackle. I'm not taking anybody from that school. So I'm going to take Brandon Fisk. That's probably that's just my being my hating of that school up north. All right, and then round three. Sweat just went off the board. I was going to take him with the third and my third round pick. During the third round, there's Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. That'd be a solid pick here. Cameron Kitchens, the safety. That would be a solid pick. I like Jeremiah Trotter a lot, the linebacker from Clemson, a third-round linebacker for the Bengals. That is way on brand. Blake Corum is there from the school up north. It's too much like Chase Brown, literally and figuratively. So I'm going to pass on that one, too. You know what? I'm taking Trotter. I'm taking Trotter, the linebacker. So I addressed defensive tackle. I've gotten another better, solid rotational piece at linebacker there. And I got my right tackle for the future. I mean, I think that should cover it. So you don't get a grade now because I don't pay him for PFF. But I think that really covers it. And then, you know, on the other days of the draft, you really got to, you know, try to get you some offense, you know, some skill position players, you know, drafting dudes for upside here. But that's it. All right, y'all. So that's it. Enjoy free agency tomorrow. Don't be sitting near any sharp objects or any other weaponry, because if you expect the Bengals to jump out of the gate, again, I'd love to be wrong about this. And if you listen to this, you want to tell me you were wrong, I will gladly take and eat all of that crow. But 40 plus years of cheering for this team, man. I think the free agency the last couple of years is more an anomaly than a trend. But we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. All right, so from Chase, Jamar Chase Cup to you, I'm out, and we'll see you to record what happens after free agency. Peace, everybody.